From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Aztec Theater in San Antonio, Texas, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hello, everybody. This is so exciting. We have an amazing show for you. We have four brilliant contestants. They are backstage. They just told me that the Alamo is not where I return my rental car. And they will be up here playing some games with us, and one of them will become our big winner. And I gotta say that we are here to mess with Texas. Right, Jonathan? Are we messing with Texas?
We're gonna mess it all up.
I was actually surprised to hear, like, I think it's kind of a tough guy, macho slogan, don't mess with Texas, but it's from an anti-littering campaign. That is so adorable. That is so sweet. Does the bouncer down the street with that tattooed on his bicep know that? Does he know that? No, he doesn't know that. Are you sick of talking about the Alamo? Are you sick of it? No, you're okay? Some people yes, some people no. I get it. We all remember the Alamo, but here's my question. If you forget, what security questions do you get asked? Where did you spend New Year's 1845? What's your favorite Mexican general's maiden name? Who's Davy Crockett's best friend? And I also checked out the San Antonio Riverwalk. Very nice. Beautiful. Here I thought river walking was like a Jesus-only event. Turns out also drunk guys named Tyler. And our special guest is singer-songwriter Robert Earl Keen. He has a great, very popular song about awkward family gatherings. Merry Christmas from the family. I don't know about your family, but when my family gets together, we can't even call it Christmas. We have to call it Battle Royale. I love the first line of his song. It goes, Mom got drunk, Dad got drunk. I wish all holiday songs were that realistic. Right? Like, have yourself a merry little Christmas. But if not, that's totally understandable. I get it. Makes sense. I won't be home for Christmas if I can help it. And my favorite, do you hear what I hear? That's my cousin telling me how much money he made last year. All right, let's play some games, everybody. It would be cliche to come to San Antonio and do a game about the Alamo, right? Wrong. It would be extremely cliche, and that's why we're doing it. So let's meet our contestants. First up, Stevie Tardif. You are a middle school theater teacher, and you love the Texas grocery chain H-E-B.
Yes!
What is so great about this chain?
They love Texas. Number one, they have the best produce because it's locally sourced. They have coffee flavors based on Texas towns that are delicious. They have tortilla chips shaped like Texas. It's amazing. I love it.
Stevie, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Clarissa Simmons. You work for an educational technology company, and you work on an app that helps teachers practice for their certification tests.
Yep, we help teachers study.
So you know all about taking apart quizzes.
Yes.
Okay. If you're reworking questions to make them more effective, what's the best strategy?
Pretend to be really dumb.
As obvious as possible. Clarissa, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Stevie and Clarissa, whoever has more points after two games will go to our final round. So we're within walking distance of the Alamo, so it's only right to start things off with a word game called Remember the Something-O. It's easy. Every answer has three syllables and ends with the letter O. However, you must answer in the form of Remember the Alamo.
So if we said, I forget, what would you call a piece of the most popular breakfast cereal in the United States? You would answer, Remember the Cheerio.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Here we go. I forget, what's that small woodwind instrument that's half the size of a flute? Ironically, one of Dragon Ball Z's biggest fighters is named after it. Stevie.
Remember the piccolo.
That is correct. An instrument made just to body shame flutes.
I forget, what's that majestic, shaggy-haired mammal with horns that used to roam the Western Plains and is now ground up to make burgers? Stevie.
Remember the buffalo?
Yeah, that's right. I forget, what's the short name for the surgical procedure involving a hollow needle that can tell you the sex of a fetus? I know it seems like a weird question for me to ask, but I just slipped my mind. Stevie.
Remember the embryo.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
Okay.
You knew it when you said it.
Yeah.
Clarissa, do you have the answer?
Remember the in vitro?
We were looking for remember the amnio.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, if you've had one, you would remember. They are not as fun as a gender reveal cake, I'm just going to say.
I forget, who was that Roman orator who greatly influenced the Latin language and was also consul of the Roman Republic in 63 BC?
It's also in the musical Chicago. Pop, six, squish, oh, Stevie.
Remember the Cicero?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep those theater clues coming.
There you go, yeah. This is your last clue. I forget, what's the name of that pen and paper game played on a 3x3 grid? The one that will always end in a draw if you play perfectly, but your nephews never do, so you win every time? Clarissa.
Remember the tic-tac-toe?
That is correct. All right, great game, and Stevie is in the lead. Our next game is about sounds you'd hear in college. The most exciting sound of my college career was the sound of unwrapping string cheese in the library. Football. It's a big deal in Texas. Yep. From high school all the way up to the pros, and this audio game is inspired by those unpaid college athletes who make other people rich. I'm going to play you a sound you'd hear at a college football team's home stadium. You're going to ring in and identify the school or the team. The points are doubled. Stevie, stay in the lead, and you go to the final round. Clarissa, you need to get more points, or you have to listen to a college student explain why he's voting third party. Here we go. After this Morgantown-based Big 12 team wins a home game, its fans sing an on-the-nose John Denver song.
Country roads, take me home.
Clarissa.
West Virginia.
Yep, we'll take it. West Virginia University. I know you were going in the right direction, and the point is yours. Pro tip, never call someone a mountain mama. Saying. This Blacksburg University's mascot looks like a turkey, but they want you to know it's not necessarily a turkey. Even if you hear this sound in the stadium, remember, it's not a turkey. Okay. It's a technical university east of West Virginia. It's your hint. Clarissa.
University of Virginia?
Sorry, can't accept that. Stevie, can you steal?
Virginia Tech?
Yeah, that's right. And that's the Hokie bird. The Hokies, right? The team's the Hokies, and that's the sound of the Hokies bird, which is, it's a made-up bird. They just, they took the most frightening bird, a turkey, and managed to make it more frightening.
Yeah.
You'll hear this 130 decibel sound every time this train-themed Big Ten team from Indiana scores a touchdown.
Indiana State.
Stevie says Indiana State. Good guess, but incorrect. Clarissa, can you steal?
University of Indiana.
Sorry, this is incorrect.
Good guess.
It's Purdue. And the team is the Boilermakers. Yeah, and that is the sound of a hangover a-coming. This is your last clue. In 2003, students protested when this Big Ten university temporarily suspended its tradition of having fans jump up and down over concern for Camp Randall Stadium's structural integrity. Clarissa,
University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yes, indeed. The Badgers. You knew that one very proudly.
My high school best friend went there.
Your high school best friend? And so did you go to any of those?
No, she ditched me. I didn't go.
Her loss and your gain right in this moment.
Apparently, yeah.
All right, we have a tie. So ring in to answer, and if you get this right, you go to the final round. What annual postseason college football game is traditionally played on New Year's Day in Pasadena? Clarissa.
The Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl is correct. And after two games, Clarissa is going to the final round. Coming up next, musician Robert Earl Keen. Is he keen to play some trivia while drinking a cup of Earl Grey tea? And some pun off of Robert? We'll find out. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Target Red Card. Save 5% and get more out of shopping for your kids. Save 5% and get more for every aspiring artist, every sports fanatic, and every glitter go-getter around your table. Save 5% on every trip and you'll never settle for less. Red Card gets you more. Learn more in-store or online. Restrictions apply. See target.com/redcard for details. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. What's a Zoom room? It's what your conference room is meant to be, with flawless video and audio conferencing, instant wireless content sharing from any device, and just one tap of a button to start a meeting. Any space can easily become a modern, simple-to-use Zoom room, from tiny huddle rooms to executive offices to huge training rooms. And Zoom Rooms is effortlessly scalable from a few rooms to a few thousand. Sign up online for a free 30-day trial of Zoom Rooms and meet happy with Zoom.
I know we'd all love the holidays to be this happy, stress-free, joyful time, but let's be real, that is not always the case. NPR's Life Kit is answering your holiday questions and helping you navigate family dynamics all season long. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen and subscribe to Life Kit All Guides.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. He's a Texas native and a prolific singer-songwriter who has been releasing music and touring for 35 years. And he hosts the Americana podcast, The 51st State. Please welcome Robert Earl Keen. Hello, Robert. So to start things off, would you play a song for us?
Can I play a song for you? Okay, great. Mom got drunk and Dad got drunk. at our Christmas party. We were drinking champagne punch and homemade eggnog. Little sister brought her new boyfriend. He was a Mexican. We didn't know what to think of him till he sang Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. Brother Ken brought his kids with him, the three from his first wife Lynn, and the two identical twins from his second wife Mary Nell. Of course, he brought his new wife, Kay, who talks all about chain smoking while the stereo plays Noel, Noel, the first Noel. Carve the turkey, turn the ball game on. Make Bloody Marys. Send somebody to the stop and go. We need some celery and a can of fake snow. A bag of lemons and some Diet Sprites. A box of tampons, some Salem lights. Hallelujah, everybody say cheese. Merry Christmas from the fam. Feliz Navidad.
Thank you. Robert Earl Keen, everybody.
Woo. Yes, sir.
Woo. I know that your introduction to music came when you were a kid and your older sister would drag you into bars. You were underage.
Yes, actually, my younger sister.
Your younger sister. So she was also...
She was way underage and I was somewhat underage, yeah. But she was a foosball champion in the funkiest parts of Houston, Texas. And so I went there to, protect her. I mean, as well as I could protect her. Leave her alone. Okay, fine. Do whatever you... Yeah.
And then so you were coming as her bodyguard, but then you got interested in the music?
Yeah, no. In some of these places, in this part of Houston, they'd have a foosball table and a couple of pool tables.
Yeah.
But in another room, in a smaller room, they would have a couple of people playing guitars, you know? And so I'd sort of see that she's okay, and then I'd drift into these little rooms, and I'd listen to these people play. And it was a chance and opportunity to, be right, truly up close and personal with the music and be right there. And I don't think I ever had such an experience about music that was so overwhelming than that was being, 4 feet away from somebody playing something really, really beautiful. And that just, I was hooked. Yeah.
I'm going to skip forward to 1984 because your first album, No Kind of Dancer, has a song called The Front Porch Song,
mm-hmm.
Which was co-written with Lyle Lovett.
Correct.
How did you meet him?
He lived around the corner from me. I lived on Church Street in College Station, Texas, the home.
Woo!
Yeah, home of the Texas Aggies.
Yep.
Okay, right. Home of the Fighting Texas Aggies. Yes, sir. And so he rode his bicycle by our house all the time. And I had a bunch of these, snuff-dipping, fiddle-playing buddies. And we used to sit on this porch and play music all the time. And he would ride by. And one day he just kind of pulled up in the yard and said, I've worked for the basement coffee house on part-time basis. And I'd like you to come and maybe... play and open up for somebody. So, we were playing the Methodist church spaghetti supper.
Perfect.
That was just, you know, so man, like playing in a real venue was a pretty cool thing. And Lyle and I just got to be friends. We just, you know, like friends do. You just hit it off and your time never really passes. You just see them, you know, 5 years later, it's just the same thing. You're just going on. Right?
And the Frenchport song is based on that gathering place.
Absolutely. Yes.
With your, what did you say, snuff?
Dipping.
Snuff dipping.
Fiddle playing.
Fiddle
buddies.
Playing.
Yeah.
Now, like a true Texan, you're a big fan of Willie Nelson, and you've gone to his famous 4th of July picnic concert parties and named one of your albums Picnic.
Correct.
What are those parties like?
Well, back then they were really fun because people didn't wear a lot of clothes. Yeah.
How many people are we talking?
We're talking 15, 20,000 people.
What?
Yeah.
And everyone would gather, drive there, I imagine.
Yeah.
And then hang out.
And hang out.
And
do a lot of hanging out.
Do a lot of hanging,
hanging
out.
Yeah.
A lot of music.
Yeah. Yeah, in more ways than one. Yeah.
You're doing a podcast, the Americana podcast, the 51st State. Uh-huh. A recent reviewer of the show said, "It's like I found my taco meat on Heaven's Street."
Wow.
Yeah. You're clearly connecting
That's
with people.
That's fantastic.
It's an interview show.
Uh-huh.
And you're talking with different artists. What inspired you to do a podcast?
My daughter, Clara. You know, she said, you know, we ought to do this podcast. And so she kind of dragged me into it kicking and screaming, you know. Like
you didn't want to do it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't even have an iPod. So why would I think? I couldn't even move up from no iPod to podcast. There's some kind of evolution there, right? But anyway, she talked me into it. And it's been really great because one of the things that happens when you do what I do, which is tour about 200 days a year, you really become isolated to what's going on in the culture, in the world.
Right.
You know, you hear a lot less music than you'd think you would, you know? Even at festivals and things, you don't see people that you want to see because, like, it's too busy.
It's busy, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So when you started playing music, did you feel like people told you, like, yeah, keep going? Or did people say, listen, there's plenty of other things you can do, Robert?
I've still never met one person that said, yeah, keep going.
There's a few
here.
Well, there's a few here.
Yeah.
Robert Earl Keen, are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So on top of everything else, songwriter, amazing musician, incredible live act, you have a superpower. You have an incredible party trick. You know the birthday of every U.S. president.
Correct. I do.
Why?
I realized that I knew some of the president's birthdays, and then I thought, well, why not know them all? So I just decided to memorize them, so I did, and then as I went along, I realized that it was a really great way to really understand American history and the timeline there, and if you know what's going on with the presidents, you know what's going on in the country at the time, so it became more of a passion than it was just like, at first it was just a parlor trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to put this to further use, because this game is called the Presidential Birthday in History. I'm going to give you a president. You're going to tell me the president's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But that's obviously too easy. So I'm going to ask you a multiple choice question about something that happened in the world when that president was born.
Okay.
And if you do well enough, Katy Payne from San Antonio will win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
All right, let's give it a shot. Abraham Lincoln.
His birthday is February 12th, 1809.
That is Yes, perfect.
Okay.
And what famous scientist was also born on February 12th, 1809? Was it A, Charles Darwin, B, Louis Pasteur, or C, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew?
Okay. I'm going to have to go with Darwin.
Yes, Charles Darwin was born the same day as Abraham Lincoln. Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay. October 27th, 1858.
Yes. I just love this. Okay, here's your follow-up. What famous department store opened its first store in New York City the day after Roosevelt was born? Was it A, Saks, B, Macy's, or C, Ann Taylor Loft?
I'm going to have to go with Macy's.
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
Okay, this is your last clue.
Okay.
George W. Bush.
July the 6th, 1946.
Perfect. Absolutely. Yes. One day before Bush was born, what new fashion item debuted in Paris on July 5th, 1946? Was it A, nylon stockings, B, elbow-length opera gloves, or C, the bikini?
C.
That is right. And the swimsuit was named after Bikini Atoll, the location of the atomic bomb test that happened the same week. So fun! Congratulations, Robert. You and Katie Payne won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes.
Okay.
Robert will join us later in
Thank
the show
you.
For another game, but right now, give it up for Robert Earl Keen. Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our next game is about things that come in seven, like Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Leah Gonzalez. You work for a healthcare nonprofit. You grew up in San Antonio, and you mentioned that you cry every time We Are the Champions plays.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just such a swelling song, and it reminds me of San Antonio when the Spurs win the championships.
I love that. Leah, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Allie Foran. You're a math professor at Texas A&M, and your specialty is word problems.
Yes.
Okay, can you give me an example of like some sort of...
Sure. So I was previously teaching a lot of elementary education courses, and so I would say like, okay, you have a kid named Jake, and he likes football, and he thinks that girls have cooties, and he likes to eat Cheetos. Write him a word problem that has to do with 5 plus 7, and they would say, okay, well, I ate 5 bags of Cheetos this morning. If I have 7 more this afternoon, how many bags of Cheetos will I have eaten today? And so then he likes Cheetos, so he'll be like, oh man, I had 12 bags of Cheetos.
That's all it takes. You just get them thinking about Cheetos, and they're
exactly.
like, this is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
All right, Allie, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Remember, Lee and Allie, whoever has more points after 2 games will go to our final round. So according to the U.S. Census Bureau, San Antonio is the 7th most populated city in the United States. So this game is called Seventonio. We'll give you a category containing 7 items. For example, name the 7 most populated cities in the United States. You're going to go back and forth naming all the things that you can that fall into that category.
And if you mess up by giving an incorrect answer, by repeating an answer that was already given, or by taking too long, your opponent will score the point. And if between the two of you, you run the entire list, whoever gives the 7th correct answer scores the point.
Okay, so you'll ring in to answer first. Here we go.
Name the 7 deadly sins. Allie.
Pride.
Pride is one. That's correct. Leah.
Lust.
Greed.
Anger.
Wrath. I will accept that. Yes. Allie.
Gluttony.
You guys know your sins. Congratulations. There are 2 left, Leah.
Sloth.
And 1 more, Allie.
Ooh. Just thinking of the movie 7 and trying
that,
to get
no,
through all
I
of them
do it
in my
too,
head.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Ooh. Oh, so close. The answer is envy. And the reason you couldn't remember it is because that was where the plot didn't really hold together, because he was the one who was envying somebody.
I know.
It was kind of like, didn't really make sense. It wasn't like the other ones.
Name the 7 Weasley kids from Harry Potter. Allie.
Ron.
Yeah. Leah.
I have never read a Harry Potter book.
Okay.
George.
Okay. Is one.
Wow.
Allie.
Ginny.
Ginny is correct. Leah, what other name can you make up?
William.
Yep, we will accept that. Bill, also William. Allie.
Percy.
Percy is correct. Leah.
Ophira.
Not part of this list, but that was pretty amazing. The other two are Charlie and Fred.
Here's your next one. Name the seven symbols used in Roman numerals. Allie.
I.
Leah.
V.
X.
L.
C.
M.
M, yes. Allie.
D.
D is the answer. That means you get the point. That's all seven. This is your last category. Give me the titles of the seven theatrically released live-action Spider-Man films released from 2002 to 2019. Allie.
Spider-Man.
Yes. Well done. Leah.
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2 is another one. Allie.
Spider-Man 3.
Leah.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes. Allie.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
It's a fine guess, but that is incorrect. I'm sorry. The remaining ones were Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Spider-Man Far From Home.
I did see it, yeah.
Okay, great game. We have a tie. If you knew all seven Weasley kids, no problem, then we'd be in seventh heaven if you'd apply to be on our show. Go to amatickets.org. Up next, we'll play another music parody game about cheese. Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I like my men how I like my cheese. Soft, gooey, and full of penicillin. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, State Farm. Why do you need State Farm's renter's insurance? Because it helps protect the stuff landlords don't, like your furniture that gets drenched by a broken pipe, or when a burglar makes off with your new laptop. When you add it all up, your stuff's probably worth more than you think. Make sure it's protected with State Farm's renter's insurance. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com.
How do you make an older parent struggling with health problems happy?
I tell him I was getting engaged to a war photographer and that he and I just bought a parakeet named Gino.
This week on NPR's Invisibilia, what happens when the roles we're used to performing with our loved ones get mixed up?
This is NPR's Ask Me Another, coming to you from San Antonio. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Leah and Allie. This is a music parody game about cheese. It's going to be a gouda time. Or as the Dutch would say, a gouda time. Let's check with our contestants, Leah. So you and your roommate really love karaoke. You
yes.
bought a karaoke machine for your house.
Well, we bought two karaoke mics for our house.
Two karaoke mics.
Right.
That you plug into nothing.
Correct. They have their own speakers, so they're self-amplifying.
Sure they are. Okay, Allie, you're a big crafter. You knit all your friends with babies' crocheted stuffed animals.
I do.
What are your best ones?
So I made a flamingo, and the feathers were really cool because they, like, flowed off of the flamingo. I made a sloth. Like, I don't know, I've made a lot of animals.
What was the last one, I'm sorry?
A sloth.
A sloth. You made a sloth.
Yeah.
It's adorable, right?
It was the mom's favorite animal, so.
It was the mom's favorite animal?
Yeah.
I like slow things. Yes.
Oh, you're going to hate a toddler.
Very good. So this music parody game is called Que Sera Sera. Depending on who you talk to, the U.S. queso craze started right here in San Antonio.
Queso is the Spanish word for cheese. I don't know if you guys knew that. So naturally, we took songs with Spanish words in the title and rewrote them to be about different types of cheese. Is this cultural appropriation? We'll find out. Ring in and tell me what cheese I'm singing about, and if you get that right for a bonus point, you can name the original song or the artist who made it famous.
Now, regular listeners might notice that this is the second time we have had Jonathan sing about cheese. This is what happens when all of your game writers are also cheesemongers. So there's a tie. Whoever wins this will go to our final round, and whoever loses will win a vegan cheese plate. Don't cheer for that. Here we go.
Some people think it's bold, veiny cheese with a stinky mold. So now at dinner I eat alone, gorgonzola on my own. Allie.
Blue cheese?
Blue cheese is correct. For a bonus point, can you name the song or artist?
Yeah, that was Coldplay.
It sure was. Mm. Viva la vida.
Last night I dreamed of a bagel with lox and capers on my breakfast bun. A smear of this dairy concoction. You can throw some scallions in, it's not a sin. Just don't eat the strawberry flavored version of this cheese, especially with salmon, please, because that sounds gross to me.
Leah.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese, you got it. Bonus point if you can name the song or artist.
Nope.
No, can't name it.
Sorry.
Whoa.
That was Madonna, who is a musical artist.
That's right.
Isla Bonita was that song.
By the way, Philadelphia cream cheese, which many people enjoy, guess where that's from? New York.
Here we go.
French soft cheese, I want to eat you. You've got a rye that I can eat too. My oven's heating, I know you would agree. I could eat this whole wheel if I just bake it in puff. Puff pastry.
Allie.
Brie.
Yeah, that's right. For a bonus point, song or artist.
Senorita by Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, that's right.
Named for where? We start with cheddar and we take out all its flair. White or orange, kinda boring, perfect square. In an envelope of plastic you must tear. Melt so even, you'll believe in processed cheese.
Allie.
Kraft singles slices?
Yeah, I was going to say, can you be less specific? We're just looking for American, but absolutely, yeah. Kraft singles, that's my jam.
Yeah.
It's like a toy cheese.
Yeah. Is it cheese?
No. No, yeah, it's not cheese. That's a cheese product.
It's a pasteurized processed cheese product.
Beautiful edges. Beautiful edges.
When it comes in those plastic envelopes, it actually takes the shape of the envelope. It's a really...
I know.
It's like it wasn't even solid when they put it in there. I don't know how they do it.
Actually, you know, officially processed cheese is defined as the food prepared by mixing with the aid of heat one or more cheeses of the same or two or more varieties in a homogeneous plastic mass. Why don't they put that on the package?
Yeah,
homogeneous plastic mass.
I can't imagine. Allie, there's a bonus point for you if you can name the song or artist.
Bailamos.
Yeah, that's right. Enrique Iglesias.
I like to call it chèvre. More fun to call it chèvre makes me feel fancy. Well, I'm eating beet salad. I keep eating beet salad because I don't know what else to do with the chèvre.
Leah.
Goat cheese?
Goat cheese, yeah, that's right. Can you name the song or artist?
Yes.
Yeah.
La Bamba.
Yeah, that's right, Richie Valens. This is your last song. There's a layered saucy pasta to be prepared. Lots of dairy, vegans beware. These soft and creamy cheese curds in every layer. We're making lasagna. Making lasagna. Allie.
Ricotta.
Ricotta. That's right. For a bonus point, can you name the song or artist?
Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, Elvis Presley, that's right.
Mmm. Always on my mind, also about cheese. Little known facts. Yeah. Okay, Allie pulled it out and is moving to our final round. So let's keep rolling with the Tex-Mex theme with a game about guacamole. And to play it, please welcome back our special guest, musician Robert Earl Keen. So Robert, you recommended a restaurant for us to eat at.
Yes, Mi Tierra.
Mi Tierra, and we went there last night.
Yes.
We had margaritas. Yeah. We had like basically one of everything on the menu.
Yes.
It was delicious, tons of chips.
Uh-huh.
And it was and pastries.
Yes.
Right, 'cause they have amazing pastries.
Yeah.
It was songs. We had songs.
Oh yeah. That's,
it was a great experience.
I know. I always get those guys to, like, I always tell them, look, I want to hear the saddest song you know? And they look at me like really weird, you know, because they're always playing happy songs.
We
you know?
Asked for a happy song.
Yeah.
You're like, what kind of song
I go,
you want?
Muy triste, muy triste. And so one time I kept, you know, hounding them, and they finally played one, and two of the guys started crying in the middle of it. It was a pretty cool experience.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool experience, you know? When they want to play a sad song, they can play a sad song, you know? I mean, if my Spanish was any better, I would have been crying.
You got some theater. You got some theater in there. Okay, so I also understand that you love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
What is your specialty?
Well, you know, I don't know. Just anything that's in the icebox, basically.
Nice.
I mean, I'm pretty good at that. Like, let me make this out of this.
That's
you know?
Great. How do you feel about guacamole?
I love guacamole.
Do you make your own?
I make my own.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So here's the deal. Our previous guest from the Netflix show Queer Eye, Anthony Perowski, famously riled up the internet by putting Greek yogurt in guacamole. I know. People are...
Thank you, San Antonio. Yeah.
But it turns out there are loads of examples of unconventional ingredients that people put in guacamole and anger the internet and the people at large.
Yeah, I can understand that.
We have a game about it. All you have to do is guess the controversial ingredient I'm talking about in this game called Guacpocalypse Now.
Guacpocalypse Now. Okay. Okay.
Ina Garten, the barefoot Contessa, raised eyebrows when she revealed the secret to keeping her guacamole green. Instead of adding a bit of lime juice, she adds a lot of what freshly squeezed juice?
And who is this?
It's Ina Garten, the barefoot Contessa. Television... show. She's a
okay.
Citrus fruit. She squeezes in there, but it's not lime.
That's a lemon.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, purists are mad.
I wouldn't even think about that. I mean, I look over there in the little fruit bowl, and if there's no green things over there, I'd grab the yellow thing.
Yeah. Oh, people are mad.
Yeah.
Avocado prices have been going up lately, and NPR interviewed a food writer who learned that some LA taquerias are saving money
by making guac without avocado. I know. Substituting with what ingredient instead?
It's not a multiple choice thing.
No. Okay. I'll give you a hint.
All right.
Butternut.
Butternuts?
Keep going.
Wow. Right. Okay. Okay. Squash.
Yeah, I knew you knew. I knew you were playing me, but I love it.
All right.
Yeah, Calabacitos squash, a matter of fact.
Okay.
Yeah, this writer said that after a side-by-side taste test, he could barely tell the difference between the squash one and the avocado one.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Did he work for Birdseye or something?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
In 2014, Bon Appetit suggested adding a little crunch and a lot of fiber to your guacamole by throwing in a finely chopped stalk of what vegetable?
Finely chopped stalk.
Yeah.
Of what vegetable?
Yep.
Celery.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Of course. And here is your last clue. In 2015, in response to a controversial recipe published by the New York Times, even Barack Obama tweeted that he was not buying what as an ingredient in guacamole? Little tiny green rounds.
Peas?
Peas, yes.
Oh my God.
Peas and guacamole. Gross. Robert, you did great. You can see Robert Earl Keane's Countdown to Christmas Tour, Lunar Tunes, and Looty Times this December. Give it up for Robert Earl Keane. It's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Clarissa Simmons, who says the key to writing a good quiz is to pretend to be dumb. And Allie Foran, who knows a kid named Jake who eats too many Cheetos. Clarissa and Allie, your final round is called Is It Bigger Than Texas? We know that everything is bigger in Texas, but there are some places that are bigger than Texas. So in every question, all you have to do is figure out whether the region I give you is bigger or smaller than the state of Texas. And our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Robert Earl Keane. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Clarissa is going first. Here we go. Clarissa, which is bigger, Texas or France?
Texas.
That is correct. Allie, which is bigger, Texas or Australia?
Australia.
That is correct. Clarissa, which is bigger, Yellowstone National Park or Texas?
Texas?
That's right, by more than 265,000 square miles. Allie, which is bigger, Texas or America's biggest national park, Wrangell St. Elias in Alaska?
The second one.
Sorry, the answer is actually Texas.
That's all right.
All right, Jonathan, how are contestants doing?
So far, Clarissa's in the lead, 2-1.
All right, Clarissa, which is bigger, Texas or the biggest Great Lake, Lake Superior?
Texas.
Yeah, that's right. Allie, the Great Barrier Reef or Texas?
The Great Barrier Reef.
Actually, Texas is about twice as big. Clarissa, the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of Mexico?
That is correct, yes, by 350,000 square miles. Allie, the Sea of Tranquility on Earth's moon or Texas?
Texas.
Yeah, Texas is right. All right, we're halfway through our questions, Jonathan.
Clarissa seems to be unstoppable. She's in the lead 4-2.
Okay. Clarissa, which is bigger, Texas or the surface area of Pluto's moon, Charon?
Texas.
Sorry, Pluto's moon by more than 1.5 million square miles. Allie, the Sahara Desert or Texas?
The Sahara.
The Sahara Desert is correct, yes, by more than 3 million square miles. Clarissa, Death Valley or Texas?
Texas.
Yeah, Texas is correct. Allie, the Himalayas or Texas?
Mm, Texas.
Yeah, Texas by only 38,000 square miles. All right, only a few questions left. What's going on, Jonathan?
Well, Allie made up some of that lead. It's now 5-4.
All right, Clarissa, which is bigger, Texas or Greenland?
Greenland?
Yes, Greenland by about 570,000 square miles.
Ophira?
Yes.
Clarissa is now in the lead 6-4. Allie, if you get this wrong, Clarissa wins the game.
Allie, which is bigger, Texas or Egypt?
Wow. I'm going to go Texas.
I'm sorry, Egypt is bigger by more than 120,000 square miles.
It's close.
That means, Clarissa, you are our winner. Congratulations, Clarissa, and that's our show. Our podcast drops each Friday. Listen and subscribe. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Camila Salazar, Ryan Leach, Mary Tobler, Kara Weinberger, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts and Emily Winter. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal.
El Ranch Eel.
Ask Me Another is produced by Mike Katsup, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow.
Any case Nacho,
Ramel Wood, and our intern, Natalie Haytayan, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore. We'd like to thank the Aztec Theater,
Zeta Catheter,
Texas Public Radio,
Crude Sailboat Picks,
and our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, meet us at the Bell House on Monday, December 9th for a very special live taping of Ask Me Another. We're bringing back four previous victors for our first ever Tournament of Champions. Plus, from Showtime's Billions, comedian Dan Soder. And from the sitcom Sunnyside, Cal Penn. Info and tickets at amatickets.org. This is NPR. Next time on Ask Me Another, we're in Nashville with two country music legends, Trace Atkins and Carlene Carter, and they play a game identifying members of the Grand Ole Opry.
She was kidnapped in an episode of Dukes of Hazzard.
Blake Shelton.
So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.